and Gatos, the All Arizona Daily Download. The top five local stories of the day. Number five.
How many teacher positions are vacant?
Are you ready for the percentage? 21%.
Okay, that's a large number, right?
That's an enormous number. So, would you believe that that's actually an improvement from last year?
How?
25% vacancies in 2018. This year, 2019, 21%.
So by this rate, in about, 10 years, we'll be down to zero.
The association's annual survey of more than half of school districts and charter schools in Arizona shows the percentage of teacher positions that remain vacant is at 21%, a slight improvement from last year.
Okay, so I got to tell you, we look back at what happened with Arizona teachers and Red for Ed and the brave move to walk off the job. It forced Governor Doug Ducey's hand. He came through. This is a step in the right direction. I think what we're seeing is slowly we're getting better. Slowly, teachers have made an extra 10%, then an extra 5%. Next year, an extra 5%. Slowly, we're going from, we've got 25% vacancies in the classroom to 21%. You got to start somewhere. I wish it would happen quicker, but it's not. But things are improving, even though it's slow. It's a big number.
I'm kind of torn that, okay, it's good that it's lower, but we're still over 20%. I mean, that's just not acceptable.
Mac and Gatos, the number four local story on the All Arizona Daily Download.
Penzone's phone blew up.
My phone blew up for a couple days from folks who wanted to communicate with me, mostly in support. And I'll tell you, and I'd love to get onto some issues that are more important to our listeners, but I'll close it with this. My phone blew up from every walk of the political spectrum. Okay, there were conservative Republicans, there were independents, and there were Democrats who all reached out and said, no, this ain't happening. We're here to support you.
All right, Maricopa County Sheriff Paul Penzone yesterday telling us his phone blew up when Arpaio announced that he was going to run for sheriff. It probably did blow up for a couple days.
As support, though. I mean, I thought that was interesting. He got a lot of support from a bunch of different groups. He didn't have to go to the bars. He didn't have to go to the streets. He got support coming through his own phone.
Well, yeah, and I would expect that. I mean,
do you?
Yeah, because this isn't a real... Listen, Arpaio is not a real candidate. Arpaio is a joke. Arpaio did a good job for a long time here in Arizona, and unfortunately, he flushed himself down the toilet and became a laughingstock. It didn't have to be that way.
The guy
was doing a good job for a long time here.
I'm surprised, A, that Penzone even acknowledged the announcement, I'm surprised that what Penzone says is, I've got my record to stand on.
Right.
I don't have to campaign because I've got the job now. I don't have to campaign like I did before. So that was interesting.
Number three.
Phoenix police problems are real.
That's what the community says. Phoenix police met with members of the community during an ad hoc committee meeting of community leaders tasked by Mayor Kate Gallego. And many people said there is a police brutality problem. It is not just a blown up media story. We see it in our neighborhoods.
I don't know, man. I don't know what to say about it.
Is it an agenda?
I think that,
or is it real?
I think there's more of an agenda going on. I think that you're always going to have a situation with a cop here or there. And I think where this all stems from is what happened last year with all the police officer involved shootings. But, you know, if you want to just read the headline and you don't want to invest, another 20 minutes in reading the story or going through it, you just see, there are a bunch of Phoenix cops shooting people. And this is not the case.
There's one person, a Maryvale-based advocacy group said, if it was just about a few or not a departmental issue, then we wouldn't be here. But this is beyond perception. We're here because the department has problems systemically. Is it that you don't like the way the Phoenix PD does their job? Or are they doing their job effectively and you don't like it? There's a big difference.
Well, wouldn't you think that they would like it if they're doing their job effectively? And I think the police are doing their job effectively.
Not if they have people that they, my boy didn't do anything wrong. How dare you take him to jail kind of thing.
Mac and Gatos, the number two local story on the All Arizona Daily Download.
Arizonans love Goodyear.
All right, so Money Magazine ranked Goodyear, Arizona, 22nd in their annual list of the 50 best American cities to live in. Unfortunately, Gatos's Black Canyon City didn't make the list.
I love Black Canyon City.
It's the only Arizona city to make the list, and the mayor of Goodyear said maintaining a high quality of life for our residents is important, and it's certainly an honor to receive this recognition. But why?
I've just Googled best things to do in Goodyear. They've got Goodyear Community Park.
Okay.
They've got the Estrella Tower, Star Tower.
All right.
Very pretty.
This says jobs were the big winner and the ballpark, training fields.
Number four, Goodyear Ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
Another interesting venue for events. You can come see the Cleveland Indians and the Cincinnati Reds baseball. Over Halloween, the ballpark is taken over by costumed children at fairground rides at the Fall Festival. I got to get to Goodyear more. Ooh, they have the Arizona Challenger.
Have you ever been to Goodyear?
Sure.
Where?
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
Middle of Goodyear.
The middle of Goodyear.
Of it, yeah.
Okay. What streets? What are the cross streets?
Arizona Challenger Space Center.
Middle.
They have the Bible Museum. I didn't know they had a Bible museum out in Goodyear.
It's an old lady's extra room that she used to rent out for an Airbnb, and she just has a bunch of Gideon Bibles laying
Ooh,
around.
Ooh, they have Western Adventures. Oh, I can't ride a horse. Horse killed Superman.
Mac and Gatos. Mac and Gatos. The number one show presents the number one local story on the All Arizona Daily Download.
Mountain Point Turncoat is a rat.
That's awesome.
That's what one person said. Former Mountain Point head coach recommended Justin Hager for coaching jobs before he knew of the leaks. And now, of course, well, I mean, it's obvious people are not going to like this guy, right? It's no surprise they're calling him a rat.
What does he have to say about his former assistant?
Well, he calls him a rat. Those are the former Mountain Point head coach's Norris Vaughn's exact words when it comes to that former assistant coach.
Okay, so we're talking Mountain Point football. The former head coach was Norris Vaughn. The assistant coach was this rat, Hager, right? So Vaughn now calls Hager a rat. I think that's a perfect name. I think he's a rat. I think the guy's despicable. I think he got children hurt. I want you to hear this. Listen to this. Vaughn, the former assistant, he said, and I quote, "At one point we had a tailback, a center, and a quarterback get injured. We felt like that injury information got out. We felt like on defense they knew what the coverages were. So I think maybe right now we're hearing...
Yeah, they had a suspicion.
That not only was there a suspicion, yeah. But now we're seeing that maybe a few kids did get hurt because the other team had the plays. Oh, I want to throttle this former
coach.
Well,
what he's saying is we had a tailback, a center, and a quarterback get injured, and they knew it. Like the injury report got out. And then on defense, they knew what the coverage was.
Oh.
Coverages we were in.
Oh, I saw it a different way. Okay,
yeah,
I'm
so
glad you explained
that. The injuries could have happened, though. We don't know.
Okay.
Maybe those kids did get injured before, but this is not good. He's a rat.
The All Arizona Daily Download. The top five local stories of the day with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
The All Arizona Daily Download brought to you by Inspire Sleep. If CPAP isn't working for you, learn about Inspire. It's a revolutionary treatment for sleep apnea. No mask, no hose, no noise. Go to inspiresleep.com today.
Okay. Coming up next. Will Arizona Democrats use independence to turn the state blue? You got to listen to this coming up in a second.
Drive home informed and entertained. Mac and Gatos.
All right, probably in a little while, we're going to talk about a story that's starting to break, and it involves President Donald Trump. Yesterday, we told you that he had said something to a world leader that people on his own staff called so troubling.
He had to file a report.
Yeah. We're starting to find out that whatever Trump said, it had to do with the Ukrainian president, and it had to do with investigating Joe Biden's son.
Now, we don't know which one. Joe Biden's son,
one
of his sons
passed
died.
Away.
Right.
Yeah.
Another one, we don't know what that. Why would the Ukrainian government have to investigate? We don't know.
Well,
but it's becoming a bigger story.
It is. And you can tell the political season absolutely has started.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we had Russia a few years ago. We had, you know, the Trump meeting at Trump Towers, and they had a Russian in there, and people were going crazy, and, oh, I got information on Hillary Clinton. And so we're working on this story. We don't know if it's a bunch of nothing or if there's actually something there. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll have something coming up. But right now, this also, speaking of the political season, this came out today. Arizona Democrats are debating whether or not to allow independent voters to actually vote in the party's presidential preference election, which is coming up.
So keep in mind what we do in Arizona is in that presidential preference. If you're a Republican, you vote. If you're a Democrat, you vote. If you're an independent, you don't get to vote. OK, independents are held out.
Right.
I never understood it. I don't like that. I think people that are in the middle should be able to vote. But it's an interesting question. Why would Democrats want this? Because remember what the Republican Party did in Arizona. They said, you know what? We're going to save a bunch of money. We're not going to have the presidential preference election because Trump isn't running against anybody.
Yeah, there's an incumbent already. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, that's happened before, happened during the Obama years. So it's not an unprecedented move. But this could be Democrats talking about having independents vote in their party's election. What does all of this mean? Joining us now is Dr. Mike O'Neill, KTAR News political analyst. Hey, Dr. Mike, how are you today?
I'm great. Good afternoon.
So my first question is, why do Democrats want to let independents in?
Well, we don't. Not all of them do. We don't know. We do know, however, that this presidential preference election is kind of an anomaly. Independents are already okay to vote in regular Arizona primary elections. Ditto, like they have it, they could also vote in a Republican primary election. The sole anomaly is the presidential primary, and I don't think there was an explicit decision to do this. Rather, in a separate vote, people voted to open up the regular primaries, but this was sort of overlooked in the process, and I think many view this as just sort of cleaning up the books and bringing this into conformity with everything else.
But does this change the way independents can vote? Will it change forever that for the rest of the election that independents will be allowed to choose in the presidential preference primary, which is a big deal?
Well, if we change it, it's probably going to be permanent. I think the biggest part of the deal for the Democrats is that it would be kind of a welcoming invitation, say you're welcome to participate in their primary, and you hope that as a result of that, more of those people than would otherwise occur might tend to vote Democratic in November.
So that could be the advantage. What would the disadvantage be?
You know, the only disadvantage is, I mean, there's some chance of mischief if, for example, other people come in and you're really a closet Republican and you vote for who you think is the least likely to win Democratic candidate. But I tell you, those things are raised all the time and there's almost never anything to it because you'd have to get significant numbers of people to often vote for the candidate they like the least. And there's something that just doesn't sit well with people. The occasional person can do it, but there's been almost no instance of that kind of mischief that I've really ever seen.
So let me be real clear here. In the presidential preference elections in Arizona, were independents ever allowed to vote?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. So this would be one of the first times in the presidential
In Arizona,
the presidential preference election that independents would be welcomed by one of the two parties.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
And I think if they opened it up, I think it would be very difficult for the Republicans not to follow suit. Now, of course, they've canceled their whole election. But I would imagine if the Democrats open it up, the Republicans would say, well, in future elections, you're welcome to vote in our primary as well, because I think otherwise the Democrats would achieve a kind of a tactical advantage by having this openness to independents that wasn't shared by Republicans.
Dr. Mike O'Neill's joining us, KTAR political analyst. Arizona Democrats may allow independents.
Supposedly this is going to be decided tomorrow.
On Saturday,
yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
To participate, have independents participate in the Democratic 2020 presidential preference election. They don't have to register as a member of the Democratic Party. They can stay independent and actually you know, go ahead and vote. Is this their big plan, in your opinion, to turn Arizona from purple to blue?
No, actually, I don't think this is the Democratic plan. This was instigated by the Independent Voting Group, which is an advocacy group for independent voters. They're the people who started this. And they are doing things like this all around the country, trying to expand the franchise for independent voters. Now, I think it might have that byproduct. I think, on balance, it would be probably a wise tactical thing for the Democrats to say yes. But they were not the original impetus. It was the independents themselves.
Got it.
Dr. Mike O'Neill, he's our political analyst. He also hosts the Think Tank right here on Sundays on KTAR. Dr. Mike, have a great weekend.
You bet. Take care.
Thank you.
What do you make of this?
Okay, what I make of this is a great strategy
for the Democrats.
For the Democrats, all right. By saying we recognize you as a growing voter bloc. It is not 50% Democrats, 50% Republican here in Arizona. Remember, last election, it was a third, a third, and a third. And that independent stripe or that independent group is growing bigger with all the silly stuff that's going on between the Republicans and the Democrats. A lot of people are saying, you know what? I want to be in the middle, or I'm more centrist rather than, you know, backing Trump or backing Nancy Pelosi or whatever. Right. This is a great invitation and it's a great strategy, as Dr. Mike pointed out. Maybe you'll be more inclined to vote Democrat because they included you this time.
It's an olive branch.
Exactly.
Interesting. Okay. We'll get more into that later on, but Arizona Democrats, they may want independents to vote in their presidential preference in 2020.
Right.
All right. Coming up next, a story you have to hear. Why did a Glendale police officer drive a 94-year-old World War II veteran 2,000 miles from Phoenix to Florida? The Glendale cop is going to join us next and tell us why he did it. Stick around.
Drive home informed and entertained with Mac and Gatos. Drive home informed and entertained. Arizona's afternoon news with Mac and Gatos on KTAR News 92.3 FM.
Every once in a while, we like these kind of stories and we love sharing these kind of stories. It all started when a 94-year-old man's son who lived out of state called the Glendale Police Department for a welfare check. Now, it's never a good thing when your family member has to call for a welfare check, but this has a happy ending. A man, a proud World War II veteran, was determined to drive across the United States to get into his new assisted living facility in Florida.
Yeah.
He was going to do it by himself.
Amazing. He's 94 and he wanted to do it. So, as you said, there was a call that went out from, you know, the man's kids in Florida to Glendale police. And Glendale Sergeant Jeff Turney showed up. And he did something absolutely incredible.
Yeah, he was the one that did the welfare check.
Mm-hmm.
And this story, you could not have predicted what happened next.
Joining us now is Glendale Sergeant Jeff Turney. Hey, Sergeant, how are you today?
Doing great. How about you guys?
We're going to tell this story. You're going to help tell the story. I think you're awesome. How did this whole thing start?
Well, it actually, when the sons called the department, another officer responded to the scene.
Okay.
And Officer Gladden, he was the one that actually initially made contact with Howard and realized that he was going to go whether we wanted him to or not. Mm. And then he called me. I'm one of the patrol supervisors out there. Knowing that I do a lot of things with veterans, and I was a vet myself, so I was asked to come down and help him try to talk this gentleman out of not taking that trip. And as soon as I saw him, I realized we weren't going to be able to talk him out of it. He had already bought a trailer and was packing things ready to go.
And you told him what?
I told him that it's not a good idea for him to go. We tried to talk him out of it first, and within just a few minutes, I realized that wasn't going to work, and I knew I had the next few days off. My days off are Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I had to be back Saturday morning at 5 in the morning, and I told him if we could leave tonight or early in the morning, I had time to make it back to go to work. So
you drove him 2,000 miles.
Yeah, so you drove him to Florida.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, in the why?
Right.
Why? I mean, if somebody came to me and said, hey, I'm going to drive. Why did you say, okay, let me figure this out right now,
yeah,
and I'll take
you? Why'd you do it?
Yeah.
There's a few reasons. First of all, it was just the right thing to do. Secondly, I knew that if that was my family member and then they were going to take that kind of a trip and nobody stepped up to help them, I would really be disappointed. And if I couldn't do it, I would hope somebody else would. And third, I've been out there on the streets when we run into individuals coming through our city that were confused and lost. And it took me almost 8 hours one night to find where a guy was staying in a hotel after he got lost. And I knew that he would end up in somebody else's city lost or worse.
So you said that his family members called. You've got a job. You've got a family. We're talking to a man, a sergeant of the Glendale Police Department, Jeff Turney, a retired Air Force member, who drove a 94-year-old World War II vet across the country for his new house. Where's his family? How come his family didn't come out? Or why didn't you say, hey, wait till somebody else can drive you?
Well, once I decided to take him, I actually contacted his family, and he's 94, and they're all 70s.
Okay. So you're the young guy. You're the young guy driving him out.
Hey, yeah, I was the young guy.
Sergeant, tell us about the car ride. You know, you're a veteran. He's a veteran of World War II. What did you guys talk about? What was it, 4 days you said you were in the car?
4 days. Once we got out of Phoenix, because we got stuck in traffic, we couldn't get out in time, so we got stuck in their morning traffic there. And once we got out of town, 60 was packed up. It's where he wanted to go. He had a plan all the way across the country of how he wanted to do it.
Wow.
We had to get down to Tucson, which put extra minutes on. And so we talked about the 25 extra minutes we were driving to Tucson to go down I-10. And then I looked at him and said, hey, Howard, we got a few days together. I'd like to hear about your history. I mean, you've got 94 years of amazing history and seen things that nobody else has seen that I would love to hear about. And he says, well, Jeff, my first memory is sitting on my mom's lap at 3 and a half.
Oh, he started at 3 years old.
Wow.
I love that. And then he went through the next 90 years?
He did. 94 years of Howard. And we were on the other side of Pensacola with about 4 hours left. And he actually looked over to me and says, Jeff, I think I'm done.
That's my entire life story.
We're chatting with Glendale Sergeant Jeff Turney, who drove a 94-year-old man who was a stranger to him, right? A World War II veteran, Howard Benson, from Glendale, I guess, all the way to Florida, because Howard had a new assisted living, and he was going to drive across the country. So, Sergeant Turney, the one story, maybe the one thing that stuck with you when he told you something, you knew you were going to remember that moment for the rest of your life. What is that?
I think the biggest thing that I learned from Howard was the way he treated people. He had a personality that just sucked you right in. And he told me that, Jeff, start every conversation you have with a compliment. And you cannot go wrong. And I watched him do that the whole way across the country. Everywhere we went in, if we were getting something to eat or we were stopping for the night, he would walk in and the receptionist, he would look at them and it was a female. He'd say, your hair looks lovely tonight. And that would start the tone of the conversation right there. And I never heard him say a bad thing about anyone. And everyone he met was just kind of pulled into that personality. And I'm sure he's had quite a life just wanted to learn.
You're lucky.
How he
you're
made
lucky.
It through 94 years.
Yeah, you're really lucky.
Why do you say that?
No doubt.
Most old people I know are cranky. They don't have good stories.
Jeez.
Or they always say, well, you whippersnappers don't know what it's like to fill in the blank. You had an incredible experience. Was there any time before you realized he's such a nice guy, did you ever think this could go sideways real quick and how do I get out of it?
No, I didn't even think about that side. I just figured, you know what, this is a gentleman that needed help, and if I didn't help him, there wasn't too many people out there that could.
But what did you tell your family? Did you come home and say, I'm packing my bag, I got to leave, I'll be back in 5 days.
What are you going to do?
Right.
My family's used to it. I chair the Military Affairs Committee for the city of Glendale, the Chamber of Commerce over here, and we help a lot of veterans out here that need assistance, and whenever I find someone, I spend a lot of days when my wife's at work and my son's at school, so we go out and help veterans, and I got a lot of friends that jump right in beside me and help them right along with me. So there's a lot of good people out there doing a lot of awesome things. I'm just one of many out there that does the right thing.
How did you get back to Phoenix? You didn't drive.
They flew me home.
Okay, good.
Oh, good. I'm glad they flew you home.
Oh, good. They gave you some money for a flight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the family flew me home, and they actually they tried to give me money. They wouldn't let me not take money for doing the trip, but I told them, I tried to explain to them I didn't do that for the money. And
sure.
They wouldn't accept a no for an answer, so when we got home, we have a business breakfast, a chamber business breakfast that has a lot of nonprofits in it, so we just collected all the business cards from the nonprofits and we did a raffle, and I gave the money to them. And just so happens the old Marine Guard won the money, and they do the same thing. They help veterans out there. So it was a perfect segue. Worked perfect. So they took that money, and not more than a couple of days later, I had somebody calling with a Marine that was in trouble that needed some help with electric bills, and I sent them to the old Marine Guard. I said, I know they got a little bit of cash over there. They can help you. So it's all full circle.
In about 8 years, my kid will go to college. Can you drive her? Because I don't look forward to that drive. Could you do it for me? That would be great.
Yeah, not a problem.
Oh, good. Well, I'm off the hook for that. That's wonderful. Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you, Sergeant.
Everybody listening in the Valley, everybody who's listening in the Valley, it's not every day you get to hear a real-life hero on the radio. And that, my friends, is Glendale Sergeant Jeff Turney. What you did for a 94-year-old World War II veteran, I don't think I have words. I really don't. You just don't get this in this day and age anymore. And, I mean, you went above and beyond. I mean, I couldn't imagine a nicer thing for you to do. So it's been an honor to have you on the air. And
thanks for your service, too.
Yeah, thank you for your service, and thank you for sharing your story. You're awesome.
Thank you, guys. It was an honor to do it, actually. He deserved every minute I spent with him was an honor.
Great. Thanks, man. What a story.
Thank you.
What a story.
I know. I still
goosebumps.
Can't believe it's
I got goosebumps.
Yeah, you should.
I do. Look at me. Look at the goosebumps, Matt.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Right?
Boy, it looks...
Got a lot of hair.
You need to go to a dermatologist, I think, really.
I go every week.
Oh, every week.
Every 6 months.
Every week. I could not imagine making that decision the day of. Okay, let's just go.
You know what
I'll take you
was?
Tomorrow.
Here's the thing. It was an easy decision for him.
Right.
He didn't think twice about it.
I can't imagine, yeah.
Right, but he didn't think twice about it. He knew as soon as he showed up, this 94-year-old man had made up his mind that he was going to drive across the country. That's not only dangerous for the 94-year-old man, it's also dangerous for other people on the road. You're 94.
And he just figured out, can I make it back in time to get back to work? That's amazing. Yes. I mean, good for him.
Good for him.
I wish we could hear more stories like that.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I do, too. Glendale Sergeant Jeff Turney. That is a real hero right there. Coming up next, it happened. 75 people actually stormed the gates at Area 51 today. We'll tell you that next.
Drive home informed and entertained with Mac and Gatos.
All right, coming up at 3, we've got more information about Donald Trump and the Ukraine connection and the whistleblower report, so make sure you're listening at 3 o'clock. We'll break it down for you. Very interesting. Doesn't make any sense until we actually break it down. And then, is Trump really inviting the Ukraine into the election?
To meddle.
Right.
Yeah.
Because
we had the Russia stuff.
That's right.
Now, Russia meddled, okay? They definitely meddled. Everybody knows that. But then when you did the investigation into did Trump have anything to do with it, they came up with nothing.
Right.
Okay? So now it seems you have Trump talking to the Ukrainian president about asking them to investigate Joe Biden's son.
For what reason?
And they think it's Joe Biden's deceased son. And we're still getting it. So give us a few minutes to figure it out because it's very tough to understand, but we're kind of having it spoon-fed to us, and we're going to spoon-feed it to you at about 3:05.
All right, so yesterday we talked about the Alien Fest. That's up in Nevada at the Area 51 area. Boy, that's redundant. And about hundreds or so, thousands, millions of people. No, we don't know how many people actually showed up, do we? yesterday?
Hundreds.
Hundreds, okay. It wasn't that many. So do we know more about aliens in Area 51 today than we did yesterday?
No,
we don't.
There are people there that think they've seen aliens, and they are there, and I think about 75 of them stormed Area 51, and I use the word storm.
Well, they were warned
yes.
that if you cross a line, you're right. going to be dealt with.
So yesterday, Alex Stone from ABC.
Boy, he drew the short straw on this
He
one,
had
man.
To sleep in his car.
Yep.
Okay. We called him yesterday. He's right around this Area 51. He's with all the wacko people.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the first thing that he said to us, because we said, hey, are you okay?
Hello, Earthlings. I have been probed, and now it hurts. Oh, man. Yeah. Talk about true alien believers. They are here. They are in Rachel tonight, and they'll tell you that they've seen aliens, they've talked to aliens, they've seen UFOs, and they want to see some stuff tonight, but... You know, I asked them, how are the aliens going to know you're out here? They don't know there's this thing going on. They're going to fly by and, you know, rock the wings for you. But they want to see some stuff tonight. They're beginning to show up now.
Alex, what happened? Did you draw the short straw on this one? Or are you actually excited to be there? So that was kind of how we were making fun of
yeah.
Alex Stone.
Oh, yeah.
I think this has been the people who are going out aren't, they don't want to jump the fence or get shot doing so. It sounds to me like a bunch of people wanted to go out and drink beer because that's all
that's what
doing.
It kind of sounds
they're
like
sitting
right
in
now.
A big circle, they're drinking beer. So we're going to have the latest update on how two people got arrested.
Yes.
73 others stormed Area 51. That's coming up in the Big Four at 4 with Alex Stone. He'll join us again for Big Blockbuster Stories about an hour and 10 minutes from now.